is Mother's Day Eve. This has been a long, hard week, long days, lots going on, lots of stress, lots of uncertainty. But let me tell you what, I am off of work tomorrow, and I have made a wonderful, wonderful discovery. So one of my favorite things is polar seltzer water. I try not to drink soda or sugary beverages in my battle with, keeping the health in check and all that. I also have had the joy of beer ripped away from me because I can't have gluten. So there are some gluten-free beers that are okay, but it's just not the same. But let me tell you what. I was at Target yesterday, and I made a glorious discovery. I discovered that sparkling spiked seltzer water is a thing. I got a brand called White Claw. I am having my second one, and maybe it's the fact I've been up since 4 a.m., have hardly eaten all day, and am incredibly tired, and I've already had one, but these things are hitting the spot right now. So I am a happy camper. I have a bit of a thing to talk about tonight. It actually has to do with Martin's comic talk today from yesterday, Friday, May 11th. So you should listen to that if you haven't already done so. Go to nerdylegion.com/CTT, I'm assuming. If you go to nerdylegion.com and you can't find it from there, then you're not trying hard enough. But go check that out and listen to it if you want to have kind of the precursory discussion to what I'm going to talk about a little bit right now. And as an added bonus to everybody, there's going to be a little special segment after the end credits. Normally, I would just put it there and let people discover it on their own. But with all the stress in the world and all the stress of this conversation going on that hopefully I'm not going to add to the stress or the negativity, I just want to let everybody know there's going to be something very nice and sweet and pleasant and uplifting to listen to after the outro of music. So stay tuned, listen to that. So the big discussion Martin was talking about, I'm going to be a little bit vague on some of the details partially because I don't really know all the details. I just kind of want to express my take on it or how I would approach it. And this is in response to some of the questions that Martin posed in his podcast yesterday. So we're talking about, there was a book that was being made. It was crowdsource funded. Is being made by a couple of, I guess, controversial creators, and it was going to be published by Antarctic Press. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, then you'll be kind of clueless to what this is. And if you're in that place, please listen to Martin's podcast from yesterday. Comic Talk Today from Friday, May 11th. So they were getting this book published by Antarctic Press. And there's a lot of pushback. I guess Antarctic decided to drop it. I believe that news actually came out after Martin did his episode yesterday, so I'm sure he'll talk about that more in a follow up. But Martin was ultimately this brought about the discussion of, if you disagree with a creator's politics, will that affect whether or not you'll buy their creations? And would that possibly sway you from purchasing from the publisher or not, if a publisher published them? Martin tweeted this out yesterday as a Twitter poll. And in a vacuum, without specifics, my answer to that would be no. Because you got to get into specifics. I mean, everybody has certain lines that you draw. Ultimately, for myself, if I greatly have a problem with somebody for like a legitimate reason, then the quality of their art ultimately wouldn't matter if I just really felt like I couldn't support that person. In this case, that would kind of be the case. The writer of this book, I have no idea the quality of the book, honestly. From what I've kind of taken a glance at, it doesn't interest me at all anyways. So, I mean, from that angle, it's kind of a moot point. But aside from that, I would have no interest in supporting what this guy does anyways. I was trying to think about, are there any other creators out there that, like, as of now, I know something that would make me not purchase something that they've done? And not really. I don't think there's anybody that I just like absolutely wouldn't want to take part of what they do. There are probably a few creators that I am more likely to be iffy about something that they do just because of some of the other stuff that they've done, but nothing that I just outwardly would just refuse to get. I was talking with another friend a little bit about Don Rosa. I was talking about Karl Barks and Don Rosa because another friend got me reading some of the great old Scrooge McDuck and Donald Duck comics done by those two. And this friend I was talking to just had a lot of negative to say about Don Rosa. And I mean, he had, stuff to back it up. I don't recall exactly if it's his experiences that he was sharing, if he had any, or if it was just secondhand from people that he was close to and things that they had seen or been part of. But he had a lot of negative stuff to say, and he basically said that he absolutely would not ever have anything to do with Don Rosa. He wouldn't read Don Rosa. So that's kind of a good example. It depends on your personal experiences, like if you're going to completely say, no, I don't want anything to do with this creator. Personally, for me, I haven't hit that yet, but there are certainly things that could cause me to do that. But it'd have to be pretty extreme things for me to just say, absolutely, no, I don't want anything to do with this creator. There are some creators that just some of the stuff that they tend to do would make me kind of question if I would like other things that they do. One creator that's a very popular, well-known one is Garth Ennis, where it's just I've read several of his books that I just didn't care for. I mean, and not just like, eh, that wasn't that good. I didn't really care for it. But like I read some of it and was like, I wish I didn't read this. And not necessarily because of the quality, because I do think Garth Ennis is a good writer, but because I didn't enjoy the content or how it affected my mind or made me feel. But at the same time, there's some Garth Ennis stuff that I've read that I really enjoyed. Surprisingly, the stuff that he's done for Dynamite, some of the war books that he did, I thought were very good. And Dynamite's a publisher that I'm going to tend to be a little skeptical about. Garth Ennis is a writer I'm going to be tend to be skeptical about. But those books were good. And it just goes to show that, you know, even if a publisher may not hit as often for you, doesn't mean that they never will. Same thing for a creator. They may tend to write stuff that you wouldn't like or draw stuff that you wouldn't like, but you'll come across a book sometimes that you do like. So, you know, it's good to always kind of stay open and, you know, not be afraid to dip your toes back in sometimes. You know, back to Garth Ennis, I've made two attempts at reading The Preacher, and the first time I read through, I had gotten the first trade, and it was not this current version of the trades that are out, but it was the one before. And essentially, it was two arcs of the story. And I read it, and it was okay, but it didn't really inspire me to keep buying it. And down the road a little bit, I decided to give it another shot, and I picked up a trade. But this time, the trade was the first three arcs instead of two. And rereading the first two arcs is like, yeah, everything that was good about them, I still liked the things that were good. There were definitely some things that positively stood out. You know, some of the things that kind of are earmarks of Garth Ennis and Steve Dillon's works were still the things that kind of rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. You know, don't shut down my possibility of liking them, but, you know, or make me less likely to, because it's just not really up my alley. But this time reading through the third arc was even kind of crazier in a good way. Like, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, maybe I'll continue to like this. So I picked up the next trade and immediately was turned off by some of the content in it. And it was just, you know, wasn't the end. Like, if there was enough drawing me into the book, I probably could have gotten past it. But some of the stuff was just like, okay, you know, there's kind of enough that's, you know, a little rough around the edges for me. And then to have some of the content that next arc had, it's like, okay, this isn't for me anymore, you know, so I moved on from it. So that's kind of how I feel about creators. You know, there are times that people will cross lines either in their actions or in their beliefs that would make me not want to have anything to do with what they do. I can't think of anything in comics, but I could probably say that about some actors now with a lot of the stuff that's come out over the last year or so about, you know, prior cases of inappropriate conduct, sexual harassment, and you know, the Me Too movement, that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, some of the terrible stuff I've heard, it's like I don't really like, there's nothing that I've wanted to go back and watch. Like, that puts enough of a damper on some stuff. It's like, I don't want to go there. You know, it pushes me away. Athletes, that's definitely been a case with some athletes. I'm a huge football fan. And one of the things that I'm glad to see more of in the NFL is that when an athlete gets convicted of domestic abuse, that they're just getting cut by the team. And sometimes there's even the cases where they're not getting convicted, but they get, you know, multiple charges against them and they get cut because obviously they're not, you know, behaving the way that they should be behaving. You know, and that may not exactly fix the problem or anything, but, you know, a blind eye shouldn't be turned to those things. Now, the other part of the question that I've been thinking about, and this is more specifically, I think, what Martin was getting to, but, you know, would you boycott a publisher because they published something that you didn't agree with? And I know for me, unless it was something that I really, really found to be just unforgivably wrong. Not even just offensive. I mean, there's a lot of creations of art out there that are offensive, and I may not enjoy those or want to be exposed to them, but sometimes there are things that have a place. Sometimes, stuff shouldn't be censored. If somebody wants to create something, like, there shouldn't be censorship. But, if something is extremely wrong to me, like, not just offensive, but if something is morally wrong, then not only would I not want to read that thing, if something was that morally wrong, that would probably make me not want to be exposed to that creator's work in general. And I can't see myself boycotting a publisher because of that, but it would color the light in which I looked at that publisher. That's definitely the case. You know, so if a publisher was willing to publish something that bothered me to that great of an extent, I would be hard pressed to get drawn into something else that they published. But I can't see myself taking a hard line and just saying no matter what they published, I wouldn't read it. An easy example for me was something that I would most likely not just turn away from is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. So if IDW published something that I found completely apprehensible, like, I can't imagine that I would stop reading something that I truly love by creators that I have no problem with because the publisher published something else. And there's also a difference between being willing to publish something and sharing that belief. And like in this case, it's not, as far as I know, it's not that the work being published is expressing a belief that's offensive. It's that the creators express beliefs that are so offensive that it upsets people. And I agree with that sentiment that the things that are represented by this creator outside of this work are offensive to me, and I want nothing to do with the person or their work or anything else. But the way I manage that is, instead of being outraged and trying to keep anybody from having the choice to be exposed to it, I separate it from myself. One of the key things that I've learned to do more of, and in figuring out what the heck people are talking about, because I try to stay kind of oblivious to this stuff. I have no interest in the drama. So when people started tweeting about this, I had no clue what was going on. And when I asked, people would kind of loosely reference what was going on, but that wasn't enough for me to even figure it out because I have no clue. Well, I had no clue what was going on with this. Like, this was completely unknown to me. So I had to ask people, and then I listened to Martin's podcast. That way I had that was the only way that I had an idea of what was even going on. And that's kind of how I like it. I have enough stress in my life. I have enough to worry about. I don't need to get caught up in all the BS of everybody's opinions and in people being outraged by internet trolls and social media trolls. And, one of my favorite classes in college was I took a symbolic logic class. And the thing that I loved about it, I very much have a mathematical mind. Math has always just been really easy and second nature to me. I did through calculus in high school. I did AP calculus my senior year. And I applied myself, but I never really had to try hard because it just all came to me. I kept on doing math in college. Then I got kind of tired of pursuing some of those fields because some of the stuff entailed just started to lose interest in me. At some point, it got a little too abstract and whatever. But my mind works that way. My mind works very logically and mathematically. So symbolic logic was awesome to me because it was a way to represent with symbols how arguments work. And by arguments, I don't mean people having an argument because they're, mad at each other and being jerks or whatever. I mean a debate, a proper argument between people. And when you make an argument, you have to use logic in it. And the thing that drives me nuts on social media is that people get on there and they don't use logic at all. The way they overwhelm your viewpoint that you're trying to express soundly is by using poor logic and using volume. And by volume, I don't mean noise, I mean quantity. So they just overwhelm what you're trying to say. And anything you try to say, they twist it. And all that stuff drives me nuts because I have a logical mind. And aside from the fact that of whether or not I agree or disagree, or loathe or just don't care about what they're saying, the lack of logic and the lack of proper argument just drives me freaking nuts. So I prefer to block all this stuff out. I don't like to read comments, don't like to read any of that stuff. And looking around a little bit at the stuff today, I've seen some of the comments being made, and they're just like, they're that completely absurd twisting of the facts, or you take a loose fact and you slant it and then say all this other stuff, and there's this shred of truth, and that's enough for you to lean on when you're trying to manipulate the situation. And so even just looking around at some today just made me fed up and sick. And I don't want any part of any of this kind of BS. I don't have time for this. I don't have the mental space for this. So the biggest thing I learned from this is a whole bunch of words that I can mute on Twitter so I don't have to see it. I don't want to be any part of this. So ultimately, that's my take on it. The work being published, I have no interest in because, number one, the work itself doesn't interest me. And number two, I don't want to support that creator. I have no interest in supporting them. The publisher, even if they published it, it would have not really made much difference one way or the other to me. I don't believe I've read anything that they've published, not because I've been avoiding it, just because none of it has come across my path. And if I came across one of their books, if the book interested me on its own merit, I would have picked it up. If it was like, I don't know, I've heard things about this, but I'm not really that interested, but maybe it's good. Well, then, you know, maybe if they were publishing that other stuff that I, you know, knew I didn't want to bother with, it would persuade me not to bother with other stuff. But ultimately, I try to just avoid everybody's stupidity, I guess is what it comes down to. Everybody's outrage and all that stuff. I try to know what's going on to an extent, but when it's just a bunch of BS, I don't want any part of it. That's kind of my take on it. And I'm not saying it's not important to be aware of the issues that are going on. I'm very big on empathy. You have to think about where other people are coming from and think about how things affect them in every interaction that you have and everything that you do in life. And when you do that, you're a better person and you make the world a better place. And that's just kind of a starting point. It's just being empathetic. So when people are going through stuff, or people are being, you know, harassed or abused or kicked around, like, it's important to be aware and to not sweep what's happening to people under the rug. But that also doesn't mean that you have to swim in it and that you have to make it a part of, you know, every conscious moment you have, because everybody has enough stuff like that in their lives. So, you know, I mean, sometimes these issues may be something that is a present part in your life that you need to be more involved in, whether it be because you're actually in the industry or you're supporting people who have been harassed or, there's tons of reasons why you would be involved in this. You know, for me, I have other things like that have to take up, you know, the mental space that I have. So I can't put it everywhere. So that's how I approach this stuff. I think that answers my take on what Martin was asking. So Martin, if and when you listen to this, let me know if you have any further questions or if anything I said didn't make sense. It's always a little weird discussing stuff like this without having somebody to discuss it with, because then you don't really have that sounding board to where if you're not really going down the path of, you know, logic that you're trying to kind of help you readjust and stuff. So I hope I made sense. Ultimately for me, comics are about enjoying stuff. It's a hobby. It's fun. That's all it can be for me. Comics can't be negative and drama. Ultimately, if they have to be that, then I would just have to let them go, because I certainly don't have that room in my life for that. So I hope if anybody wasn't sure kind of what they thought or how to approach it, or maybe they were feeling too strong one way or the other in their opinions of things, maybe listening to my thoughts helps them get their thoughts a little bit. I certainly am not trying to convince anybody to think or feel the way that I think or feel. But, you know, for me, comics are for fun. Comics are for enjoyment. I enjoy reading comics. And if I ever don't enjoy reading comics, I take a little step away from them. Sometimes I get a little burnt out on it, and I'll, you know, I won't try to keep reading stuff every day just to dig through stuff that I have stacked up to read, or to try to finish something to talk about on a podcast, or keep up with it, with what other people are reading. So, you know, if you're into comics, do what you like. So that's it for this episode. I'll get back to talking about the actual comics that I've read on my next episode. I'll be finishing up Rob's Marvel recommendation. I am attempting to begin reading the Annihilation event from Marvel. Thanks to a question from Nick Wetmore on Twitter. He was asking me what event I was reading at the moment. And I wasn't reading an event at the moment. I thought, you know what? It's going into summer. That's a good time for an event. I've been hearing a lot of people talk about Annihilation, so I wanted to check that out. I have Marvel Unlimited, so I definitely want to make some use of it for the year that I have it. Because once that year's up, I'm definitely going to be letting it go for a while. Because I got plenty of other comics to read as well. So that's it for tonight. Listen through past the outro music for a little treat that I hope just adds a little bit of positivity and joy into your day. Thank you for listening. Jazz like that, we freak like that, we zoom like that, we out, we out, we out.
Can make a sound?